Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Message Program. This is Dan with my very best friend and partner in marriage, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey, and much peace to our listening friends. Please agree with us in our opening prayer.
Abba, Father, we bless you, O Lord, our God, supreme master of the universe, performing many miracles for your people in past years and still today, blessing us with the greatest miracle of all, your Son. And thank you for giving us supernatural rights over the powers of darkness. May we discern when these situations arise, utilizing our power against the evil around us. We pray for the salvation of our loved ones and for our children, that they may treasure your word more than gold. May we put others before ourselves and bring comfort to your afflicted. And especially now, O Lord, make a way for your bride to avoid the tyranny of government while giving us extra courage to stand for truth. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, that is a good way to begin tonight, the tyranny of government.
Right. Who owns our bodies?
Exactly. But some good news came out late on Friday by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, who issued an emergency halt to Biden's unconstitutional vaccine mandate, for most all by January 4th. And approximately 20 states, including Ohio, are suing the Biden administration for executive overreach. You know, we must stand up against this unconstitutional mandate, or they will just keep going further, mandating small businesses as well.
And the grade schools, too.
Mm-hmm. There are published scientific studies that demonstrate that these jabs do not prevent the spread of COVID. In fact, there are reports that vaccinated people carry high viral loads in their nostrils.
Therefore, can spread the virus to others.
As in the unvaccinated. So if an unvaccinated person gets COVID, they will say they should have been vaccinated when they actually could have caught COVID from a recently vaccinated person. No lie. Oh, and one more thing on this depopulation topic. And that's what this is. Bill Gates is continuing to warn governments to prepare for future pandemics, particularly smallpox terror attacks. So you better start investing billions into more research and development.
Does he mean that the NIH who gave money to Wuhan?
Yeah, exactly. And remember, we were also warned back in 2017 by Jesuit Fauci about a coming infectious disease pandemic. I guess they think it makes them more popular when their prophecies come true.
Yeah, well, you know, Gates and Fauci are very good friends.
Indeed they are.
Are we currently giving money to this so-called research?
Well, I don't know about currently, but I think inadvertently we are. But regardless, they'll get the money somewhere. After all, Bill Gates and others are billionaires. Anyhow, saints of God, be sure to pray God's favor on his righteous ones, because I know Jesus will call us home soon, and we are resting in that. But in the meantime, a lot of damage can happen to our freedoms. So along with prayer, let's do whatever we can, no matter how little, to at least try to prolong the onslaught of these socialistic agendas as much as we can.
Write and call your congressmen.
And local officials, school board members, and et cetera, et cetera.
We had a setback on Friday.
Yes, 13 rhinos joined the Democrats to pass the $1.2 trillion bill on what they say is infrastructure, which we are all for, and it is very needed. However, only 10% will be going to roads and bridges. The rest is mostly green pork.
And green pork is nasty.
And more is on the way.
But maybe it won't pass.
Well, if it does, you can kiss the old America we all know and love goodbye. And that really is the truth.
However, we also had some good news.
Yes. Finally, Special Counsel Durham has made his third arrest on someone who might give up some good information to stay out of prison.
Igor Danchenko. Danchenko.
Yeah, I think it's Igor.
Okay.
Well, anyway, he still, again, is not the highest target, but a key source used by the elites to advance their false claims against President Trump. Igor is the type of defendant that prosecutors pressure to flip against those who retained him. In other words, someone who can be used as a building block to hook the bigger fish in Clinton's circle.
Yeah, but probably not Hillary.
Right. You know, it's an open secret she is a high priestess in the occult, and it's verified in the leaked Podesta emails concerning the Pizzagate, remember all that, by WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange? And I guess it's probably why he's still in a London prison and not doing very well.
Well, he should have been pardoned by President Trump.
Right. So London could then extradite him here. But obviously, Trump was warned because the elite hate Assange deeply.
And Edward Snowden was never pardoned either.
Both whistleblowers who exposed criminality so we the people could see the corruption. Instead, they get persecuted. Assange big time. Snowden is exiled in Russia and has somewhat of a life, but not so for Assange, who will probably soon die.
Yeah, he looks awful.
Yes. But one more piece of good news was the Virginia's governor, lieutenant governor, and the AG have now been replaced with Republicans, thanks to parents who stood up for their rights.
Yeah, New Jersey Dem Governor Murphy almost lost to a Republican.
It was extremely close.
Okay, moving on. What's new with our best friends and allies in the Middle East?
Well, that's always been Israel, but not so sure anymore. Not only did we blacklist two of Israel's spyware companies, Biden wants to reopen the consulate in Jerusalem for the Palestinians that Trump had closed. I also read on Sunday that General Salami issued a report saying that Israel's number one challenge today is that America is on its way to an economic collapse. Therefore, we'll be unable to defend them if a war.
Does Ezekiel 38 war come to mind?
Some are calling it World War III, but in Ezekiel's prophecy, it will be one-sided with only Israel against so many others as outlined in Ezekiel 38. But keep in mind, this is how God wants it. And it fits in perfectly with the fact that God alone wants to be Israel's defender. So another reason why America must lose its strength.
Yeah, and we are watching it happen.
We are, because we are that generation. And even though we saw some light at the end of the tunnel with the victory in Virginia, there's still a whole year before the 2022 elections. And now the Dems will even be more persistent, as they are now thinking they will shut down another important pipeline that will affect many of us, including Ohio.
Likely we'll see some more false flags.
Oh, absolutely, which is what January 6th was all about. Speaking of which, for the next 90 days, you can see the three-part documentary about the truth of January 6th on TuckerCarlson.com, and it's right now for free.
Yeah. Much evidence it was all planned out ahead of time by the far left.
And I don't even want to talk about the disaster at our southern border with hundreds of thousands still coming of illegal immigrants taking full advantage of our government handouts.
Available most only to illegals.
Right. Not to American citizens, and now might be paying some illegal hundreds of thousands of dollars.
While American hostages still remain in Afghanistan.
Again, this was all done on purpose.
Okay, you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of programming, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses, and we'll add your name to our correspondence list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. And especially helpful if you missed any of the programs.
Okay, so we had a request come in on why socialism doesn't fit into Scripture. And, of course, we can go immediately to where Paul says, and he's talking about the able-bodied, those that don't work shouldn't eat. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 15, and I think you should read that.
But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disobediently and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey your word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
Okay, you know, I'm really glad Paul ended with that. Don't anger yourself over someone who takes and takes from the government or anyone for that matter, but rather advise him and love on him as a brother. So speaking about socialism, if you know any history, you know it does not work, being disproved repeatedly and without exception.
Well, just look today at Cuba and Venezuela.
Right. Both very rich countries at one time. Even so, socialism keeps rearing its ugly head, constantly being rebranded as a good idea when it only benefits the ruling class.
Yeah, you know, many don't realize that the Pilgrims experimented in socialism.
Yes, for 2 years, where the socialistic bylaws nearly killed them, imposed by those London merchants who funded the creation of their colony. Under their agreement with these investors, the members of Plymouth Colony agreed to pool all their goods and all their rewards of their labor,
with each person being entitled to an equal share of it.
No matter how hard or little you worked, you could get the same, a communal living where everybody at the plantation worked in the same field, grew their food. Then at the end of the season, they simply evenly split with each other what was produced.
But they soon realized it didn't work.
Well, it's actually against human nature. The moment you tell people that the community will take care of you, well, many will work less.
Yeah, well, you know, it does undermine one's character.
Oh, yeah. And that was documented by their leader. His name was Governor William Bradford, and he wrote a book named Of Plymouth Plantation. And it's an amazing story, and he chronicles their first Thanksgiving.
That was 400 years ago in 1621.
Mm-hmm. Bradford wrote how he finally had to call some of the Pilgrim leaders together to brainstorm on how to increase production of their corn. Well, the conclusion was they just had to abolish this common stock stipulation.
We call socialism.
We do. And now, instead, each person or family would be able to have their own land, therefore letting them enjoy the fruits of their own labor without being forced to work for others. So, to end their misery.
Hey, you know, it worked.
Mm-hmm. By abandoning socialism and implementing private land ownership and free enterprise, increased production dramatically. And Bradford writes in his book,
this had very good success, for it made all hands very industrious.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The women now went willingly into the field and took their little ones with them to set corn, which before had been thought great tyranny and oppression. By the way, do you know who is credited with being the first to present socialism?
Yes, the very wealthy Plato.
Of course, wealthy. And Bradford admits in his book that they, the leaders of the pilgrims, had fallen for the vanity of that conceit, as if they were wiser than God, he said. You know, when the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not steal, which back then especially implies private property, God does not add the stipulation, unless thou art the government.
Yeah, you know, socialism is theft by the government.
Yeah, by the government. Taking by force what one has earned to redistribute it to one who has not earned it. As they are about to steal East Jerusalem and give it to the Palestinians. And who is pushing Israel to do that, do you know?
Yeah, the Biden administration and the Pope.
As in Rome.
It's all falling into place.
Amen. Anyhow, we give thanks that the pilgrims learned of the bankruptcy of socialism before it was too late. And they were then able to become productive and prosperous. Do you know that today 10% of the population of the United States are Mayflower descendants?
I do now.
And the pilgrims were so grateful for what God had done for them that they set aside time to thank him for his many blessings. You know, Thanksgiving is an annual holiday to remind us of our nation's Christian roots. Our founding fathers were intelligent, good men, but not born-again believers in Jesus.
Yeah, well, especially Thomas Jefferson.
Right, he actually cut out all of Jesus' words from the Bible.
And called it the Jefferson Bible.
Yeah. It was the pilgrims and the Puritans who really brought the true gospel to America. But as far as socialism goes, it not only undercuts productivity, it undercuts thanksgiving to God. You know, Jesus said to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Socialism teaches, in effect, we should pray, our Father, which art in Washington. As people depend on the government, as in a false god, to provide for more and more of our needs. The pilgrims were very godly people who fled England and who sacrificed all their comforts so they could worship Jesus in the purity of the gospel. They were very caring people who sought to fulfill the command to love thy neighbor as thyself. So much so that socialism for a time seemed, well, it seemed right at first. But after just 2 years, they found that socialism didn't work even for them. So how can we expect socialism to work for anybody, especially in today's society, where many are just selfish, and a lot of them expect to get by off the sweat of their neighbor's brow? Again, total governmental socialism, or you could call it Marxism, proves time and time again to be a very bad idea. Except, of course, to the rich elite, who definitely benefit. So, socialism has been tried even way back then, and yet, here we are in the 21st century, being pushed into it again. Isn't it time humanity learns from history? Apparently not. Well, at least not until Jesus rules. And you know, Isaiah 65 describes how his kingdom we'll have 100% unemployment. And I think that we should read that. Isaiah 65, I'm going to begin in verse 20. It says, "No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed." In other words, if you die at 100, you'll be considered a child still. Verse 21. "They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant, but another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people." And by the way, some trees live for thousands of years, as in the olive tree. Continuing, "And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble." Well, that'll be nice. So obviously, children will be born in God's, in Jesus' kingdom. Continuing, it says, "For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." Again, this is in the millennial kingdom before eternity begins that Revelation 21 speaks about. Because after the millennial kingdom, God actually comes down and we have eternity. And it looks like the new Jerusalem will be made again, and it'll be right here on earth. The earth abides forever, the Bible says. And finishing in verse 24, it says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord." So we are very blessed that as Christians, we can still, at least today, openly thank God. And this Thanksgiving, we should do that for our, especially for our wonderful gift of salvation. That sustains us through anything. For our literal kingdom is soon to come. As you go around your turkey dinner table this year, reflecting on what you are most thankful for, why not share the gospel and let your light so shine as you sparkle gratitude because you are saved. You never really know who might be sitting at your table who still needs to hear it, perhaps even once again. So let me just say, if you have not turned your life over to Jesus Christ, that time has arrived. You know, Luke 21 says you can escape the coming judgment with just a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite Him in to have dominance over you instead of the god of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.